Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, 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 what's up, world? It's Badass Thuggin' like I usually do, and you better turn it up, bust some speakers out, cause we off the motherfucking cuff. You dig how we do it? Dog Pound Gangsters 2000 and beyond. Blech. Yo, yo, check this out. This is your girl, Cola Boat, and I'm chilling with my boys right here on Off the Cuff Radio. We off the cuff right now. You dig?
What's up? It's your boy Lil Yabba, QLLZ. Ragging up from the river, cooling with my homies and my family at Off the Cuff Radio. Y'all be sure to tune in on Fridays and get the latest scoop and find out what's happening. You wait me?
Tiffany Levine.
And it's Queen Crazy, your girl, she's a bartender.
And we're from
Sex on the Rocks podcast.
All right, you're now tuning in to Off the Cuff Radio.
Yeah, because they keep representing that world of hip-hop. Well, much love.
All right.
Y'all, this is Miss Irresistible giving a shout out to the live show on Friday nights Off the Cuff Radio, and I'm live from the 704. Make sure y'all tune in for the blazing hot music.
Hey y'all, this is Stacey Lachey giving a shout out to King Eric and Off the Cuff Radio.
What's shaking, y'all? This is the Grand, one half of Lost Cause and one third of that Drive Time thing. Sending my love to the homies over at Off the Cuff Radio. Tune in every Friday night for some real deal hip-hop conversation. These dudes are the connoisseurs of this thing. You already know what it is. BX Stand Up, Hud City, what's shaking? Peace.
Yo, this is Joe Fresh the Dime, and y'all tuned in to the most raw, uncut show on radio. The Guillotine Scene, Off the Cuff, and yo, Eric Sandman, off of these clowns.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Hold up for a minute, man. This your man King Eric the Great coming at y'all live with a doubleheader of Off the Cuff Radio, man. I'm your host, King Eric, and I'm waiting for T-Max to join me shortly. So in the meantime, I'm trying to make sure everything is working pretty well. Studio is moving a little slow here. We're going to try to play Uncle Head's joint right here. You gotta bear with me a little bit. We have a little technical difficulties, but we're gonna definitely work this thing out. Call number's 1-516. Hold on 1 second, y'all. I'm trying to get this joint to play. For some reason, it is not working. So what I'm gonna do is this. We're going to do this show a different way right now. We're going to go ahead and bring on our guest for the first hour, and hopefully the clips could be played eventually. So for hour one, we got my man on the line, Uncle Head, y'all.
What's going on? What's going on? This your boy Uncle Head. What's happening? What's happening over there in North Carolina? What's going on, big brother?
Hey, man, you know how I beat it. Sometimes the power that be trying to make things difficult. I try to play your song, and, you know, for some reason the file didn't come up. So what we're going to do is we're going to play it soon after this interview up, you know, to give that record some love, you know?
Oh, appreciate the love, too, big brother. What's happening over there? What we got? What's going on?
Hey, man, you know, we enjoying episode 380. We 20 away from hitting the big 400. We appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, salute. Yeah, congrats on that, bro.
I appreciate it, man. I mean, it's been a grind, but we've been pushing along, man, because we want people that have been putting it down in a different way, just like you guys were. We want y'all to get your accolades as well.
Oh, yeah, bro. It's like, yeah, that's what we out here for, man. It's like, it's like teaching kids, you know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Some kids listen, some don't.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
That's a fact, bro.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I've been in this shit 28 years, bro. 28 years strong, dog. You know what I'm saying? And it's a blessing to still be resilient, and it's a blessing to still want to be heard. You know what I'm saying? It's a blessing to still being the number man, and I just appreciate the love, man. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of people don't know how to transform with time. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, man, you got it's like I appreciate the love, man, and but I had getting it for real, you know.
Definitely, man, because we built a lot about adapting to new times because this game changes so many times. It used to be you.
Right. Yeah, I was telling my homeboy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was telling my partner, man. I was like, man, the game changed every 3 to 6 months. You know what I'm saying? It's something different. It's something different. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. You notice how it was back then. It used to be like every 6 years.
Right. Nah, them times, been gone. They've been gone. Yes, sir.
But, yeah, but let's get this thing rolling, man. The first thing, welcome to the show, man. And for your base that's currently listening to the show right now, tell them about what you got going on currently. Do you have any new projects, any movies, or any new singles out there?
Oh, yeah, man. Like, y'all can go check out the latest album, South Life. I dropped that in, like, 2019. But during the pandemic, that slowed a lot of stuff up. So we really finna go in on that one and all that stuff. But I just dropped a new single because I'm working on South Life 2. The sequel, and I just dropped a new single off that round to go with y'all here after the interview with my boy Swishamane Slim, produced by my dog Fall, you know what I'm saying? So y'all can go check that out. And right now we're working on a Splat Pack EP dedicated to Kid Money. God rest in peace, Kid Money, the founder of Splat Pack, you know what I'm saying? So we're going to put an EP together, and the Splat Pack single Jumper be coming out soon. And then I'm also doing an EP with Mr. Servon from No Limit Soldiers. Y'all can go check out me and Mr. Servon song that was on the album South Life, Bounce That Ass. Y'all check the video out and all. That's me. I got a cartoon coming out. You know what I'm saying? For it's called South Life. That's in the writing stages right now. So we working, man. That's it. Had to get smarter during the pandemic and figure out other ways to hustle. You know what I'm saying?
And my curiosity question is, what made you get into animation? Because that's another level of creativity right there.
I mean, because I watch a lot like South Park and Boondocks and stuff like that, but I wanted to put a twist to it. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to have it like not – it's going to be on the South – like South Parkish, but not.
Yeah.
It's like that, yeah, anime. And like me personally, I take care of my mom. So I ain't shot no videos or nothing like that because of the pandemic. So I had to get small. Like a lot of my new single, when y'all go see it, it's everywhere. The graphics is all just cartoon. Cause I ain't had no photo shoot or nothing lately. Cause like I said, that pandemic, and I ain't trying to catch nothing. So my mom catch it. You know what I'm saying? So I've been very selective and careful how I move.
And I'm glad you put that message out there, man, because it's no joke out there, bro.
Right, it's not. It's not no joke out there, man. The people playing, man. Like, I love my life, and I love my mom. Like, my mom, a three-stroke survivor, and I take care of her, so I ain't trying to bring none of my mom home. So that's what made me go the cartoon route.
And not to mention that there's also a clever market for that as well, because that's good for the kids.
Right, but this ain't going to be kid-friendly, though. not the cartoon. Yeah, that's going to be grown. And it's going to be solidified that way. We're going to let people know don't do it.
Yeah, you got to.
Because I got an 8-year-old. Yeah, I got an 8-year-old and he ain't gonna watch it. You know what I'm saying? Nah. Yeah, man.
Yes, indeed, man. Yes, indeed. And now, for people which are our followers who are just now getting hip to you, we want to talk about your background and how you came up, man. Can you tell us where you're from, man?
Yeah, I'm from Palm Beach, man, from Revere Beach, Florida, man. Born and raised. That's where I'm from. I'm from the land of the gunplay. You know what I'm saying? And stuff like that. That's where I'm from. That's all I know. You know what I'm saying? And Splank Pay, like I say, shout out to Kid Money. He put us together. I moved to Atlanta in 92, and we did Shake That Ass, man, and took Shake That Ass to them strip clubs, and it's been history since then. And one thing, like I be telling people, like, bro, you ain't like that song, Scrub the Ground. I ain't even want to do Scrub the Ground. I ain't like the song. And that's one of the biggest songs that we did. It Won't Die, Shake That Ass, Bitch Won't Die, Let Me See You Work, It Won't Die, Splat Pack Won't Die. And they keep me on the road, and keep us on the road, and it's like a blessing, and they keep, like I say, relevancy and stuff like that, man. And that Splat Pack stamp. You know what I'm saying? It's a legacy now. So, and like I say, God bless the dead. Shout out to Kid Money, man. I appreciate everything. Like, we fell out, and we had our issues and all that, and I tried to fix it before he died, but I'm fixing it another way. I'm fixing it. We're doing, man, Q-Doll. Shout out to Q-Doll. We're doing the EP, and it's dedicated to Kid, and the proceeds going to go to his kids because he got twin boys, and he got two daughters. You know what I'm saying? So we're going to make sure some of the proceeds go to his kids and stuff like that, man. So because I'm God got it, man. I'm family-oriented. And that's just how I am, man. Shout out to Angela Covington. That's and shout out to my road manager, Jamal Maniac. And we out here working, man. And that's my background.
That's what it is,
simple.
Man. I got my host up. I got my co-host up, T-Max, with the facts in the building, man. What's up, bro?
What's going
on, big bro? What's happening?
What's going on, man? How you doing?
Shoot, man. Out your man. Blessed, man. What's going on?
Lounging, man. Great to have you on the show with us, man. Yeah,
I appreciate it, man. Thanks y'all for having me.
Yeah, man. I mean, so what was it like during that time in terms of, you know, because, you know, y'all, I mean, the Kid Money and the Splat Pack, man. I mean, it's like, you know, that 90s time just with the, you know, the 808 bass. I mean, y'all coming in, you know, of course, which all contemporaries got, you know, with Luke, DJ Magic Mike, you know, Clay D.
Yeah.
You know, all
right.
Them, man. What was that scene like during that time?
It was real. It was when music, I mean, I hate to say it, music was real then.
Mm-hmm.
Music was real then. It's like everybody couldn't just do a song. It wasn't no internet. We had to go out. We were foot soldiers, and I'm still a foot soldier. I'm used to going out there, man, putting posters on the poles, you know what I'm saying, going and doing in stores, which is stores gone, and stuff like that. So I'm a foot soldier. I'm used to going out there in these streets and promote my music, man, but now it's digital age, so you have to do it that way. But, man, it's like them times it was real. If you CDs. All them CDs was account. If you ain't sell no CDs, you ain't sell nothing. And cassettes. And we calculate everything. Like, these digital sales is too much. Like, you know, yeah, y'all, it's a lot of payroll to go on. A lot of people paying for streams and stuff like that. Stop cheating the game. We ain't cheating the game. See, a lot of these young folks, they cheating the game. And I respect a lot of these cats, but a lot of them I don't. Because I know a lot of people, and I know who cheating. And I know who ain't. I ain't going to put them out there, but I know who is and I know who ain't. And the thing is, man, it's, my thing is organic. If you sell one stream that one person, that you feel good about yourself, man. Because you got one person that love you. I like yourself, man. It's like, man, there's too much fake shit going on. Too much fake shit that binds and that biting. I'm glad they're catching on to the Biden that's going on.
Right.
You got millions of streams, but then you go on your page, you got 2-3 followers. That don't add up.
Yeah.
that don't add up. So it's like, man, that's how I am, bro. It's like, nah, I don't want to pile up with certain people that ask me for services to boost this up, boost that. Nah, I don't want it. I'm straight. Nope. Straight from the muscle, man. That's just how. That's how we came in. That's how I came in, man. That's just how I am.
You know. And that's
yeah, man.
Because you know, because when we look at the market now. King and myself, the many guests we've had on this show, we talked to
right.
them about how the just how the market has changed. Because I mean, you know,
oh,
from
yeah.
you know hard copies of albums to even
mm-hmm.
you know y'all in terms of even you know even being a magazine, you know, in terms of really getting to
right.
interview artists. You know, I think I got an old picture from 1994. You know, in terms of it, you know, when they did like they had a little piece in the store, the Welcome to Atlanta segment of it, and they had like Kid Buddy and the crew, you know, and all the crew like boot, you know, like
yeah.
a whole bunch of bodacious babes. I got to send King that picture to send to you, man, off the out the magazine.
Yeah, I think that was at Playboy's when Playboy's Palace was on Old Nash.
Yeah,
I think that's when he took that picture. Yeah, oh yeah, that was in Playboy. See, I don't forget nothing. That was Playboy's Palace at Old National that night. Oh yeah, that was ooh that night. Yeah.
What was the strip club scene like back then? What was the strip club scene back like before? Because this is like before King of Diamonds and all that. So before then, I mean,
oh yeah,
it was,
yeah
the
back
club,
then. Oh, she
Platinum Cheetah.
Oh
yeah.
Oh no. Oh yeah, they weren't going way up to the ceiling and dropping that. They weren't going. 30,000 feet up in the air and dropping down back then, no. $5
right.
table dances, $5 lap dances and shit like that. That's how it was going down, and it was real. And it's like, we was the kings of that shit, dog. It's like, it was club, because we shot the first video, Let Me See You Work It, at the owner of Club Nicky's house, Mike Child. Shout out to Mike Child. But our first
right.
actual video, Let Me See You Work It, we shot it at Mike Child's house. He owned Club Nicky's up in
oh,
Atlanta.
Man.
You do your history on Club. Club Nicky's was on Stewart Avenue. It was Metropolitan and I.
Okay.
But, yep. Yeah, he owned Club Nicky's 1, 2, 3, and all that. And Gentleman's Club, too. But, yep.
Man. You know, and that
yeah,
was
man.
Wild, man. Because, I mean, we think about that time in terms of videos. Like you said, it was, like you say the music, you know, and what y'all did, you know, it was so organic, but, you know, it really had a good time vibe to it that could not be duplicated with the energy and the action of it.
Right.
Where do you think it's changed now in terms of how artists go about doing music in terms of, you know, some to a degree do manage to catch that, manage to get it crunk. You know, of course, but it's still like they still lacking that extra it that really, really takes it over the top. That was like really just.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think it is right now in terms of how artists are trying to do music as opposed to how y'all are doing it? In terms of really taking
people,
it through from recording everything, yeah.
Yeah, the thing is, man. Like I be telling my own, but ain't no classics being made no more. People
mm-hmm.
people going for the quick money now. There's no more classics being made. Like I always say, name me a song that's out right now that you're going to hear 10, 15 years down the road. Give me one.
Right, right.
Give me one that you're going to hear 10, 15 years down the road. I'll wait. Nobody's doing classics no more. They're not, and it's sad. It songs go away so quick, and you have to do an album. It's like usually when you do an album will last you a good year and a half, 2 years. You spread them singles out and all that. Now
right.
6 months, a good 6 months
that.
They want to hear something new.
Yeah,
they want to hear something new, and it's like wow, it's like. Ain't no more classics or hits being made. Like I be telling people, man, like Single Ladies ain't going to what Beyonce, that one song. It's a couple more. But
we could probably
these
put
songs,
Migos,
man.
Bad and Bougie in there. We could put Migos, Bad and
right.
Bougie in there probably.
Right.
Right,
Bad and Bougie. Amigos, Bad and Bougie. Yeah, that's classic. That ain't going to. You're going to hear that down the line. But, man, you
right.
got it,
right.
it's like when in my job and back in the 90s and all, I can keep going with this. A lot of music here today. Bass music, R&B music, street music and all. Still today. Still today. It's like, man, they're not making, they're not taking their time. They look, like I say, for the quick money. And the money didn't change as well. Mm-hmm. So it's like, man, that's just my take on it. No more classics being made, man. And it's sad, man. It's like the music industry, man. Come on, man. Give us some class that we're going to be like, okay, cool. Yeah, we'll hear that down the road. Well, I want to go back and play it 2-3 years down the road, man. It's like, man, I ain't. Nope. So that's why we still out here. We still out here putting our stamp out here in this music, man, and trying to show these, man, show them longevity. That's it. Stay out of trouble, too. So.
Yeah, man. You know, what you said, man, is so pertinent to the culture because you all are part of it in terms of the music that y'all did. You all are among, you know, the curators of it. And, you know, when we think about that era, whether hardcore hip-hop, if we think about, you know, of course, N.W.A., Compton's Most Wanted, you know, we think about Rakim, Tribe Called Quest. We think about, you know, Splat Pack, you know, Luke, Magic Mike, you know, all that stuff. Some of those songs y'all did go back like, you know, 25, 30 years. But when it comes on, I mean, you all set a standard with those recordings in all genres from hardcore hip hop to, you know, regular hip hop to bass R&B. I mean, well, bass hip hop, you know, and then R&B and such.
Right.
It's like you all set a standard that even today, a lot of these artists can't match. And when you, like you said, so many of these artists come in the game now, where there is a different element of artists and new generation. But you know, when we think about and this is not to shade anybody on Off the Cuff Radio.
Right.
We never do that. You know, but when we think about that snap rap era of the mid-2000s, like with Shot Boy, you know, Soulja Boy, you know, Crime Mob, you know, they were great for the time, but it's like it didn't really go further than that for them. They didn't, a lot of them only made like, I think Crime Mob maybe only made like, how many albums did Crime Mob make? I think they only made about maybe one or two albums, and that was it.
Right, right.
You know, and Shot Boys, I believe, only made like one album.
One album, right.
Yeah, you know, the Franchise Boys, you know, they really only made like one or two albums, but it's like the tracks they, like you said, when you're doing music, you want to do something that is really for your legacy, for what you are contributing to it, is going to last.
Exactly.
You know, and you want it to be something that when it still plays years later, it doesn't sound dated, you know.
Right.
But, you know, but a lot of these guys too, you know, when we, you know, because me and King are older, so we remember that era. And what you said also about how, you know, niggas won't get in trouble like that. It's like y'all were pretty much just concerned about doing the music and that was it. And you weren't worried about everything.
Yeah, the music came first.
Yeah.
Right.
The music came first. Yeah.
Right. Straight up. I mean, like they doing shit for clout nowadays. That internet, man, I thank God. Boy, I be telling people, I thank God, boy, we ain't had that internet shit going on when we was on top back then. I thank God. Boy,
right.
Look here. Yes, sir. Cause this, man, look, this shit is crazy, bro. For real. They stage and shit, paying people to make shit look like something happened to them for real. And it's like, man, it's crazy, bro. I don't get it. Just for likes. For likes. So,
yeah.
It is what it is, bro.
That like is like a drug for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sure is. Sure, that like is like a drug. You said some shit then, bro. Yes, sir. So.
Yeah, where do you think it started changing in terms of the internet, in terms of where do you think that, because how do you feel like music is being marketed now as opposed to back then?
I mean, internet, man, it's like you don't have to. The thing is, they really don't have to work that hard. They're not foot, so they sit behind that computer and work. They don't have to get out there and go in these streets no more. That's the difference. That's the difference. That's why a lot of them get in trouble, because ain't no in-stores and all that shit going on no more. And then they promoting certain things that a lot of them, they ain't really about it, and they get exposed and stuff like that. I'm tired of that, too. It's like, man, come on, man. If you ain't been in them streets, dog, don't do it. Because all
right.
that, cause it's making us black folks look bad, too, because they sitting back laughing. So,
and not to
mention, like, man,
I think
man,
how it changed. Yeah, I think really how it changed was where there was a time where, you know, when you got out two out there, your jaw got tested. These dudes'
yeah,
jaws
and
ain't
like,
been tested.
Like exactly, and it's like, man, come on. Like I said earlier, it's like, man, internet, man. It's like they don't. A lot of people don't get it. They don't get it, man. Yep. So it changed. It changed with internet with me. Yep. It changed.
Yeah.
A lot of people lazy now, boy. They lazy.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right, man. The thing is, there's no substitute for good music in terms of marketing. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, like you said, the in-stores, it really gave artists a chance to interact with their fans. And their fans,
right.
you know, it was them meeting their fans and their fans meeting them, and it was really them being in touch with the people. You know, you want to show that you have the pulse on your base in terms of the people
yeah,
that
man.
Made you popular.
Straight up. Straight up.
And now, yeah, and I mean, now you got some of these artists, it's like they think that just with the internet, like you said, it is a microwave way of media, of mass reaching with the media, but there's nothing like really, because at the end of the day, you're doing it for the fans. Getting paid is great,
right?
But you want to meet your fans, and the fans want to feel appreciated. You know
exactly.
And when this is also something too. I want to ask you, man. Live performances, because y'all just
okay.
used to get it just crazy buck wild back in the day, and now even
oh,
performances
I still do.
Have changed. Yeah, yeah, y'all still do. I mean, what is it now?
Oh, I still go in on that stage.
Yeah, what's up with these artists now playing their tracks, playing their songs with the actual lyrics playing in the song while they perform?
I said, and me, if you do certain songs, like, with energy, don't just stand there on stage looking crazy. You got to move with the songs, man. Don't just stand
right.
there, bro. And I hate that. Put on the show. And a lot
right.
of them cheating. They don't put on the show. So it's like, well, you said something. Oh, my gosh. Yeah, man. But
you
then
know,
you got to be selective on how you perform in certain games, too. Go ahead.
Yeah, but, you know, it's wild, though, because it's like now, because back in the day, there was, like, actually an art of performing. Like, you actually had a set routine, and, you know, it wasn't even thought of to play your vocals on the back of your actual song while you're performing. Like, you actually were doing the lyrics.
Right. All
you
of a sudden, you might have to add ad-libs in there.
Right.
You don't have the whole verse. Yeah, you're right. I laugh,
you know,
bro. That's all I can see.
Yeah, you know, for all of his craziness and the batshit insanity he can have at times, I saw Kanye years ago in 2004. This was before he became the Kanye he is now. When he came to, I'm in
yeah,
Dancing Rose, you know, he can't. Yeah.
Okay.
One thing I can say about Kanye, that motherfucker can put on a show.
Yeah, he
say,
damn sure
I'm
do.
Before.
Yeah,
because
I had a show with him.
That's because we
was on the same ticket in Tampa, so I know.
Yeah.
Yeah, he put on the show.
Yeah. Yeah, but, you know, how did y'all pretty much plan y'all shows, and how do you go for show preparation to the day when you perform at?
As far as play, we had girls. We had two girls on stage that took. We had two strippers on stage that they got butt ass naked. We had to bond a couple. We had to bond them out a couple of times. Because we used to tell them before. Now you can't get naked at this certain show. Next thing you know, we look around us, you see titties in the air. Next thing you know, because we done did shows for pastors, for police and all that stuff all before and all that stuff back then. Go to jail. We hadn't barred them out. But, yeah, that thing. But now I go in. I got a mascot. His name, Unc Nasty. He looked like me, but he my mascot. And then I have certain shows, I might have a special guest come out. But now, like, for a solo, that's how I do it. I might have a special guest and stuff like that, and they do their song that made them popular and shit like that. But I be on the road with, like me and 69 boys, three other players, we real close, so we be on the road a lot together. Through JT Money, 95 South, like, a lot of us be on the road together, man, because we like family. So yeah, man, that's my passion. When I be on that stage, it's energy. I jump in crowds and all. Yes, sir. Oh yeah, ain't no playing.
Yeah, the stage performance is very important.
Mm-hmm. Very. Very. Yeah. So yeah.
You know, but when we watch the videos, man, I mean, it's something. I mean, of course. And you know, we said 69 boys don't have high top. I'm thinking about this and that too. You know, when them girls.
Yeah, that's my sister. Yeah. She in Atlanta. Shout out to she and Nene. They up there in Atlanta doing their thing, man. They actually from Fayetteville, North Carolina. That's where they from.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
They from Fayetteville. Yeah, my sister. This and that. Shout out to she and Nene. They from Fayetteville, North Carolina, bro. Yes, sir.
Man,
that's where they from.
Yeah, man. Yep. I mean, so in terms of the shows, y'all, in terms of the present and the past, you know, the shows y'all done, what was like the most memorable show that y'all did then, and what was the most memorable in the recent?
Most memorable show I did, bro, was Tupac. It was Freaknik. I had a show.
You got to tell us this story.
Oh, the thing is, I ain't know it was Pop. I didn't know. I was over there. I was sitting at the side. Hey, my cute dog. Q-Dawg went over there, and they were smoking and all that stuff, and I was still like, man, that ain't no damn Tupac. He too short. That is not the one that's causing all this havoc out here in these months. He was like, man, that is not him. And then they were shooting that movie Gridlock. So he had to go on before us, so we had to be the headliner because he had to shoot back. He had to get on the plane. He had to go back to California to finish shooting. When he took that hoodie off, I turned into a groupie. I was like, oh, shit, that was Pop. So when he got off, I took pictures and all that stuff, man. But that was it. Pop. I'm honored to see me, man. I had a show with Pop, man. It was Freaknik in 94. Yes, sir. That was the best show in my eyes that I done had. You know what I'm saying? That's Pop. I'm a Pop fan. So, it was 94 Freaknik with Pop, bro.
And how wild was Freaknik? Because, you know, me and King's in North Carolina, I'm in Virginia, so we was like young niggas coming back today. We could only dream of being in Atlanta.
It'll never be another Freaknik, bro. Hands down, that's one of the best. Oh, man, we have people fucking in the street, sucking in the sea. I mean, it was... the highways, I mean, people, the highways were shut down. People was getting out of their cars on 285, on 75, all that, on 85, just hanging out, man. It was unbelievable. It'll never happen again. It was unbelievable. I tell you, boy, it was wild. Yes, sir. Oh, yeah,
it couldn't coexist in this social media era, could it?
Oh, no. It would have written. Social media would have been broke. It would have been shut down. It would have been broken, shut down for real, bro. It was wild back then. It'll never happen again. Not like how Freaknik was. Never. Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. So.
Now, yeah, man. I mean, of course, I can only think about it. They have Facebook Live and IG Live back in 1993, 94, you know, and
you know, everybody, you know, get everybody getting domed in the middle of the highway, just and all the dancing and everything. You know, some of the videos, because you know back in the early 2000s, a lot of those videos, you know, a Black Beach Week and all that, they were putting those out. They were like getting footage, and it's like even then, you knew that that wasn't like everything that was, you know, going on. You just caught like 2% of like all the action out there.
Yeah.
I mean, for that whole energy of the music, I wanted to get your opinion, man, on how big was it for y'all in terms of the movement? Because for what y'all did, because Miami hip hop for the early part of the 1990s, you know, Florida hip hop in general, you know, the late 80s, early 90s was king. How big was it for y'all with Luke for taking on the state Supreme Court in terms of the obscenity laws to protect everybody there? I don't think Uncle Luke gets enough credit for fighting that fight.
Yeah, and that be pissing me off, man. It's like that, and stuff like that piss me off, man, because a lot of people don't get it. It's like a lot of these videos now and all that stuff where these girls have were naked and all that stuff, man, that man went to the dope by that. He fought the Supreme Court about it, and we was all in the mix. And it's like, dude, it's like they haven't gave him no real award. I'm gonna say it like that. Right. They haven't gave him no lifetime achievement award or nothing like that, man. It's like that's disrespectful, man. It's like, come on, man, don't do that. Because a lot of y'all, a lot of them that signed they artists that signed to them. With their videos and all that stuff like that, man, they wouldn't be able to show all that stuff if Luke wouldn't have went to the Supreme Court about that.
Right.
Nobody wouldn't be able to. It wouldn't never happen. It would have been so much not on TV. It wouldn't have happened, bro. And that man went to jail and fought the Supreme Court about it, man, and that's the reason why a lot of people don't really know. That's the reason why a lot of these girls not get be damn near naked on these videos and TV now. That man right there, but they would not give him no award, not no lifetime achievement, that not no American Music Awards or no Grammys or nothing like that. He got one from VH1 Hip Hop Awards. They gave him a lifetime achievement, and then they performed. But besides that, no, man, give that man what is just due because he did it. That man went to jail behind it and all, bro. Straight up.
Yeah. Shout out to Uncle Luke, man. You know,
yeah, man. Shout out to Luke, man. Straight up.
Yeah, because for what he did for the culture, you know, because one thing we always respected about the music, because bass music was derided a lot at first because nobody could really, because, you know, we're still about, you know, because hip hop in earnest for what we really saw around 84. You know, with Grandmaster Flash and Furious Five, the Message.
Right.
So we're seeing in 84 it really having its New York, you know, from it coming from New York, even going back to Sugar Hill Gang in 78. But in the mid-early 80s, we start seeing it develop, you know, to really become
right, 87, 88.
More mainstream. Right. And then it went through different iterations. You know, you went from, you know, the regular hip-hop to where you're going to the, you know, of course, the LLs, you know, UTFOs, you know,
right.
You know, Public Enemy, R&B and Rakim. Then you kind of get into, you know, the late 80s with the Afrocentric movement, X-Clan, you know, Queen Latifah, you know.
Yes, sir.
Public, you know, KRS. And, you know, and going into the late 80s, early 90s, you know, we start seeing hardcore hip-hop, but then we start, of course, even in the 80s, you know, the mid-80s, late 80s with 2 Live
Crew,
you know, we start seeing bass coming, and this is, like, totally, like, a whole new sound.
They can't rap, they can't do this, they can't do that, so it was harder for us to get in. That's why when we did our bass music, we know how to rap. We ain't just do bass music. If you go back and listen to Splat Pack stuff, man, it wasn't just no bass music. Nah, bro. Nah. That ain't how, huh? No, sir. We know how to rap. And JT Money, shout out to JT. He know how to rap. Know what I'm saying? So, nah, man, it's like They had to respect us, bro. A lot of them still don't, but they still ain't got no choice. Like, shout out to Charlamagne the God. He shows Black Pack love when he did Scrub the Ground all that stuff on the Breakfast Club a couple months ago.
Right.
What's the Envy. DJ Envy act like he ain't know the song. But I was at one of your parties before, and you was playing the song.
Right.
So I can't like people that like that. Man, I like shout out to Charlamagne the God show for showing us love and all that stuff. But come on, Envy, don't do that.
Yeah. And this is why, because this show is King Baby, and this is why with this show that we, that we do what we do, that we really, really put our heart and soul into. That is why we're so blessed to have legends like yourself on, because we want y'all to know how much we
appreciate y'all,
how much we love y'all for what y'all have done for the culture, what you all are still doing for the culture.
I appreciate that love too, bro.
And it's a blessing to have y'all here with us, man, to tell these stories, because you all are just as essential to the history and the culture and the tapestry of originality and creativity that makes hip-hop what it is, y'all from a different region, but it doesn't make y'all region any less important. You all are just as important as everybody else, because most importantly, you contributed something that was a staple that would lay the foundations for other artists to come in that vein, man.
Right.
Shout out to Florida across the board, man. 904,
954,
305. I mean, all y'all, man. Mm-hmm. Y'all just did so much, man.
Yeah, appreciate it, bro.
Did y'all know from when y'all started back in the day that y'all were going to become iconic in that movie?
I mean, Kid, like I said, Kid Money had a vision. He knew. He kept saying what it was going to be, and I was like, man, because see me, I ain't kept. I was in the street. I was selling, hey, boom, boy, I ain't going to incriminate myself, but I was in the street, and I ain't really understand it. I ain't care about no publishing and all that shit like that, man. I ain't know. And Kid knew. He kept saying, look, we going to do this song. Because he first asked me to be in the Splat Pack. I was like, nah. And then we smoked a little marijuana. And he said, I got this song, roll, shake that ass. I wrote this song, shake that ass, learn the song. And I was like, all right, I'll learn it and I'll do it. And then shake that ass, we went in there and did it. We had a box. And then when we had the box, we went in the label, because back then you can just walk inside. You didn't have to worry about all this security. We walked inside, put our box down on the table and press play and did shit that ass live and they signed us.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that, and then he had the vision. He was like, hey, we're going to get the 12 inches and all that shit and we're going to take it to the strip club. We're going to get them girls on. Once them girls get it, the world going to get it. And he knew it, and that's how it went. Yep.
Yeah, and that's wild, man, because, that's considered like down south, because especially with strip club culture being so big, that is something that was always said, that's basically how you got your record, that's how you got it big, because if the girls used that in their dance, on their dance route, when there was their time to dance and their routines, like if you got it out there, and everybody bumping to it, that really gets it going.
Yeah. Yep. So that's how that went, bro. And it was, he knew. He knew it because he had been in the game before anyway. So he knew because him and he was signed, as far as him, he was signed to JEA Records, which was James Alexander. That was failing out Jazzy Faye Daddy.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. Kid Money was signed to Jazzy Faye Daddy. Yep, and he did a song called Gangsta Walk.
Okay, we didn't know that. Wow.
Oh yeah, he was signed. He was signed to Jay Ruckus. Jazz the Fee. He used to sleep on our couch. We used to sleep on his. All that stuff. I met and Lil Gary from Silk. All of us. We was trying to get on together. We was trying to shout out to my boy Lil Gary. Y'all look out for Lil Gary working on his shit too from Silk. So y'all shout out to Lil Gary. Y'all look out for his. But yeah, man, we was all. Yeah, man. It's like Kid was a kid knew. He knew. And it
happened. What's that like now seeing Jazzy Faye as he's grown up and become one of the dopest hip-hop producers out there to this day?
See, the thing about Jazzy Faye, like, that's my brother, and that's my dog. He was like, man, I just want to give you a track, and I'm like, nah, I ain't with that. I want to do it the right way. I'm going to pay you what you deserve, what you and Boom and do it like his business and stuff like that. He respect that more, but that's my brother. We talk like at least once a month. On IG and all that shit like that. But, yeah, that's my dog, man. But, yeah, we was all trying to get on together, bro, and Kid knew. Because Kid went to the Art Institute with them. The Art Institute of Atlanta was DJ Smurf, Kali Paul. It was Kid Money. It was Lucky Calhoun, who DJ for 112 now. Jazzy Faye, and it was MC Bree, God Bless the Dead. And all that like that, bro. They went to school together at the Art Institute of Atlanta, bro, and learned the music business. Jermaine Dupri was there, too.
Oh, wow.
Yep. And I had moved up there in Atlanta in 92. Sure did. That's how I started, though, bro. Yes, sir.
I mean, to see that movement, I mean, to
so
be
much
part
history.
Of it, did you? Yeah, I mean, did you all know what was forming? I mean, like, Did y'all, I mean, Kid had a vision with y'all group, but when you're seeing Jermaine Dupri, because a lot of people don't know this trivia with Jermaine Dupri with Criss Cross, he is still the youngest producer ever at 17 years old to have a platinum album. We are never going to see that again. You know, did you all know what these, you know, because these were kids back in the day, you know, y'all were older. Did you know what they were going to end up doing?
I didn't. Like I said, man, I ain't know. But Jermaine Dupri, he knew it. He grew up in it because his dad was the manager of Houdini.
Right.
So, and a lot of people don't know Jermaine Dupri. Jermaine Dupri used to be one of Houdini dancers.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
So he grew up in the business. You know what I'm saying? So a lot of people don't know that. He was one of the Houdini dancers and all that, man. Jermaine Dupri daddy was their manager. So,
right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
Man, so as you have seen the next wave of, you know, Florida rappers coming to game, I want to play, we occasionally play this game with our guest called One Word, but you can say as many as you want. So I'm going to give you some of the rappers from this day now who are really big with the Florida scene, and just give me one, just give us one word or as many as you want to say about them. Starting with DJ Khaled.
Khaled ain't from Florida.
I know he's not from Florida, but he's synonymous with that scene now, being there.
I'm from Florida. You asked me about. See, I take that to the heart. See,
okay,
Khaled and
gotcha,
yeah, he in the scene and he in the scene and all that. But me, I'm Florida bred, bro, and I can't. I mean, I respect. I listen to a lot of, like Khaled Raw and all that. Yeah, Khaled that dude. But I'm from Florida, dog. And Khaled from New York.
Okay.
So
hey,
good. All right.
Yeah, you from the trenches. You from the mud of Florida.
Yeah, I'm from Palm Beach, dog. Okay. And people don't get it. Like, Palm Beach, it was hard because we ain't from Miami. It was harder for us to really get in because we from Palm Beach, dog. So, nah, it's like me. Like, as far as Florida, Kodak Black need to tighten up.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Ross got it. Ross got it. Ross got it right now. But Kodak Black, that dude. And if Kodak Black stay out of trouble, he'll be the king of Florida. That's his issue.
You know what?
He
you stay know what?
Out of trouble. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, when you bringing up Kodak Black, you brought a valid point because I even had to sit back and listen to some of the stuff myself. Like, you know, I think he dropped a project called Painting Pictures. I believe that's the name of it. And he has a lot of stuff.
Yeah, he just dropped that B.L. Israel.
Mm-hmm.
He just dropped that deal Israel too.
Yeah, man.
So he can get it.
Yeah, yeah. See, it's a lot of us, man, from Florida that, man, don't see nothing. It's like they in the street. It's like they really don't give a fuck. And it's like a lot of them don't care about nothing but Florida, too. Like, there's a lot of people that's harder than black with all that and shit like that. We all know it. But, but they, man, it's black, bro. I got to go. I mean, Kodak Black, he stay out of trouble, dog. It's over. He'll be the king of Florida. Because Trick on another accord. Trick got the restaurant and all that stuff like that. See, I don't fuck with rappers. I fuck with entrepreneurs. Like, Black don't just rap. Kodak Black don't just rap. He got the City of War shit going on. He got a Sniper Gang apparel and stuff like that, and all of it's doing good. Like, if y'all ain't seen the money he put behind City of War, it's a YouTube show that come on. It's a street show that come on. It'd be like 30 to 45 minutes. And he'd been doing that. And he was doing that while he was incarcerated, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, man. So that dude, like I tell you, I don't fuck with rappers. I fuck with entrepreneurs because you can't rap forever. You can't rap forever, dog. So you got to find other ways to get money, too.
And plus, you know, we talk about entrepreneurs and rappers, eventually, just like you said, you got to elevate to the next level. Can't be rapping for like your 20s. So that comes with growth.
Right. Exactly, bro. I mean, that's what it's about.
Yeah, definitely. You know, because that's what we call, you know, and you've heard this in show business too. That's a perfect segue, like, you know, with that, you know, like King was saying, and like what you said, man, it's like that's you know, what we call in show business the second act, you know.
Right.
How you transition it to that next level. Of course, we look at what Ross did, you know, in terms of the Wingstops, you know, and all of his restaurant franchises, you know, you know, you got me with the whole Trick Daddy thing, because I don't live in Florida, so I didn't know that he had a restaurant going on down there.
Oh, yeah, Sunday's. Check out Sunday's Eatery. Yeah, Trick got Sunday's Eatery, bro, and he got spices you can order and all on online.
Oh,
he got the seasonings and all, bro. Oh, yeah, dog. That's what he, Yep. And quite, like, he just signed a deal with Lamborghini.
Say what?
Yeah, Trick just signed a deal with Lamborghini, and they gave him a Lamborghini truck.
Oh,
yep.
Man.
Yeah, dog. So I'm proud of him, bro.
Deals.
Like, that's what he's doing. What happened?
Yeah, the sponsor
deals
are key. Yeah, I mean, so we of course knew about Trick. You know, of course, when he appeared on Luke Starr with Verb. You know, in 96.
Right.
And then we see him come off on Slip and Slide with Ted Lucas when he dropped his first album based on a true story. And then he has the breakthrough in 99 with Nan off the www.thug.com album. What was it like? Because Trick and Trina, you know, were considered to be, you know, and even in the interim, you know, JT Money, of course, when he did Who Dat, you know, with Soleil, you know, it's like, this was considered to be the second iteration of Florida hip hop as it was coming along. You know, I mean, you know, what was it like, you know, in that era, seeing there was those new acts coming to the game as well?
I mean, shoot, it was great. Especially being from Florida. It was great, man. Just to see from Florida and no trouble. It's like people's getting money, man. That's it. So it was great being from Florida, because I was in Atlanta at that time too. So it was great, and being on the road with them and meeting them and all that stuff, man, hanging out with them, man, it'd be even better. So, and this, to this day, to still see they on top and they doing their thing, ain't nothing wrong. It's cool, man. So that's what it is.
Now, you know,
we
can't let you get out of here because because we got to ask you about some of the iconic sports figures that come out of Florida and the teams. You know, of course, I mean, of course, with the Hurricanes, man, Miami Hurricanes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. So you called it the first time by the Hurricanes. Let's go.
Yeah, man. So, I mean, look, we're going to do a roll call shouting out all the – look, Ray Lewis.
What'd I tell you?
Warren Sapp, Dwayne Johnson, Magic Benton,
uh-huh.
who was named after – being conceived.
But you said Dwayne Johnson, the Rock. I love him to death, but he wasn't good when he played for us. Yeah, he must mm-hmm. start. He must start, but he wasn't good. But I appreciate it. But he played for the U. But
yeah,
yeah, keep going. Keep going.
Russell Maryland, Al Blades, Brian Blades, Benny Blades. You know, Edger and James. Shout out to Mockley. I mean, you know, Danielle Ferguson, you know, Ryan Clement, Jim Kelly, you know, Melvin Bratton, you know, Torbert Bain, Michael Irvin, you know, I mean, and shout out to Jimmy Johnson and Howard Schnellenberger, man. You know, big shout
yes,
out.
Yes, sir, and Larry Coker. Don't forget Larry Coker, too, now.
Larry Coker, yeah. I mean, we can't forget Larry Coker, you know.
Bush Davis,
Ken
don't
Dorsey.
Forget Bush Davis, because Bush Davis was a gangster coach we had, too, now.
I need to know
yes,
about some gangster stories of Bush, because Bush always just seemed to be a regular dude, man. Let me find out Bush had that gutter in him, man.
See, y'all, I know what you could see. Bush was your coach up there in North Carolina at one time.
Yeah, that's King's part of town. Yeah, Bush was there, you know. But it's like, yeah, man, but watching the Canes back in the day, man, was just because they exhibited the hip-hop spirit of what Florida was. I mean, had I been born a few years earlier, you know, and really played football like that, I would have gone to the U because y'all really, I mean, they just put on for y'all city. They just put on for the whole state, man. I mean, you know, of course, and we can't forget Craig Erickson. I mean, Dennis Erickson, of course.
I'm tripping. Dennis Erickson, yeah, I disrespected Dennis. Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. Chris T.
Yes,
Jones. Lamar
Chris
Thomas.
T. Jones, that's where we grew up together.
Okay.
Me and
okay.
Chris T. Me, when I tell you, Chris T. Jones, we grew up together, bro, in Mangonia Park in Palm Beach.
Okay.
Bowlegs, Chris, that's what we call him, Bowlegs. We call him Flathead because the back of his head flat.
Right.
Yeah, dog, that's crazy you say. Yeah, because he went to the league, he played for the Eagles and all.
Yeah.
But his legs was bow-legged, and he had messed his knee up, and his legs was bow-legged, but technology now, he would have still been playing. But, yeah.
Right.
Dad, we've been tired since we were 5 years old, bro.
Oh, man. Small world.
Because he was, Chris T. Jones averaged 30 points a game in basketball tonight, 10 rebounds, but he chose football.
Wow. Oh,
yes,
wow.
Sir. Yes, sir.
I mean, but all y'all dogs, man, I mean, but shout out to Florida in general, man. I mean, I don't think there's nothing you can't do in terms of hip-hop, hustle, and having the heart and the muscle on all sides to do it, man. Shout out to y'all, man.
Well, appreciate it, bro, but Florida hard-headed, bro. It's like if we was to come together, a lot of us come together like Atlanta do. A lot of them Atlanta cats, a lot of people don't understand. They don't get along, but they get money together.
Right.
Florida, when we don't fuck with somebody, we don't fuck with them. And that, we ain't going to do no song with them or nothing.
Oh,
and that's just how Florida is, bro.
Mm-hmm.
That's the Florida code.
It's very
that's
clickish,
just how
right?
it goes. What happened?
Is it like very clickish? Is it like very clickish?
Very clickish. Very clickish, bro. Very clickish.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, dog. So that's Florida, bro. It's like if we don't get along, that's just how it is. Ain't nobody going to get over, no. It ain't going to go, We ain't going to do no song with nobody going to get along with. Atlanta dudes, they get money together, and they don't get along. They'll shoot at each other that morning in the studio that night.
Oh, Lord.
That's Atlanta all day. Yep. Not us in Florida. Nah, bro, I don't work like that. Yeah, man.
Yeah, when you talked about some of the issues in Florida, we have to ask you this question because this is, you know, relative to that. Camouflage back in the day when he was murdered.
God, that was my dog from Savannah, Georgia. I had met him at the TJ's, DJ's, bro. Camouflage, that was my dog, Cut Friend.
Yeah, because I know he spent time a lot in between Atlanta and Florida. How big was that for the Southern hip-hop scene with his passing in terms of just, like you said, the whole deal in reference to, you know, a lot of these issues that sometimes from the street business spill over into the music business? How big of a
the thing by Camouflage. Shout out to Luke, man, from Pure Pain Records who put him out and all that stuff. The thing by Camouflage, people ain't know how big he was till he died.
Right.
People ain't, yeah, because that Cut Friend song, people ain't really know how big he was till he died, bro, and how he died was crazy because the dude, he was holding his kid.
Yeah.
They made him put his, he was holding his child, bro, and they told him to put his child down and shot him in the head.
And they still, from what I understand to this day, that was almost 20 years ago, and they still don't know who did it.
Right.
Well, they haven't made it.
They know, but you know how I go. I mean, yeah.
Right.
Streets don't talk, but
know,
made him put his child down and shot him in the head in front of the child.
Man.
Yep. Yeah, bro. So people ain't know how big he was till he passed, bro, dog.
And you know what? He also had a lot of – he had – that Soulja Slim type energy with his music too. I mean, I kind of caught
exactly. He had that Soulja Slim type energy, right? Bingo. That's the perfect way to. That's the perfect way to say it. Yeah, he did. Yeah, he did. So
yeah, man.
Yeah, dog. He was a good dude, bro. Yeah, man.
Yeah, you know, and one thing about it, I think we have to understand is, like you said, you know, we don't, you know, you know, there's always the biggest thing is in the industry is that there's always going to be problems. You know, I tell anybody, don't worry about being liked by everybody because I'm like, you don't like everybody, but don't involve yourself, but. You know, don't involve yourself in business that would disrespect somebody else to where they become, because, like, I will never forget what Jack Nicholson said in Hoffa. Business, you know, differences can be resolved. Grievances
right.
can be resolved. But a slight and imagined hurt, that motherfucker will hate you till the day that he dies. You know?
Yeah.
And when niggas feel like they've been disrespected in a certain level, they're going to react. You know, you don't got to like somebody, but don't disrespect them to the point that he's going to want to do something. Because you never know when that's going to come back on you. It could be 5 years
right.
later. It could be the next day. It could be 10 years later. But that nigga hold a hard memory like the Middle East. He's coming back, and he's coming back with a vengeance.
Right.
Know, but, you know, it's all about, you know, you give respect, and you may not get it back in return, but – I tell the people that don't give the respect back, don't be disrespectful, because that's where you see these situations turn into other things, man. I mean, you know, pretty much, you know, you've been able to, you know, you've made a good living doing what you've been doing all these years, man. I mean, what would be your advice to artists coming into the game now in terms of making their music and then making sure that their business is in order, in terms of making sure that their paperwork makes the paperwork, you know, for years to come?
See, that's what I was just going to say. My thing is about these new artists, handle your paperwork, man, and handle your business. Because guess what?
Mm-hmm.
Half of these people that y'all listening to nowadays or whatever, they ain't got no publishing. They don't even know what publishing is. I done been on calls with some of them. They don't even know what publishing is, bro. So handle your business, man, and stick to your fam. Stick to the ones that got you there. See, a lot of them, because,
right.
well, trust me, they're going to get in your ear. Once you make it and once you go to getting there, you got all kind of people, oh, dog, I got this beat for you, boom, 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 boom. Mm-hmm. I got. Stick to the ones that got you there. And just stay prayed up, man. That's the thing. And stay away from the bullshit. That's it. You'll be fine. Stick to who you stick to and stick to who you got there with. Because a lot of people, they don't. They will switch fast.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Switch fast, man. So that's my whole thing, man. Stick to your guns, man. Stick to who got you there, man. Y'all, they claim family. Stick that. Stay that. That's all. You'll be okay. You'll be fine. You're going to have your ups and downs. You're going to fight. You're going to argue and all that stuff, man. But that's just what it is. Trust me, I done been there. That's my whole thing, man. Just stick to your people, man. Because guess what? Ain't no outsiders coming in, inside over what we got going on at Bottom Line Records, at period. Forget it all, at period. Ain't no outsiders coming in. No, I stick to who I got. Straight up.
Yeah.
So that's me,
and
man.
I mean,
that's how I see it. Stick to your people, bro.
But, you know, you being that wise uncle in the game, man, you know, you got that wisdom that has been, you know, that is distilled from real life experience, man. I mean, you know, you're an OG in the game that has done so much and has seen everything, you know. So, you know, like I said, this is why we do what we do, because we want to give the legends like yourself an opportunity to tell y'all story, because, you know, y'all been there and did that arguably in the hardest time of when it was to get into music, because now with social media, you know, you become a personality or you get a trending song, you know, you can hit something overnight, you know, and become a sensation.
One song, we just talked about this on the call a couple weeks ago. One song can have your ass booked for $80,000 to $100,000 a night. I mean, a show.
Yeah.
One song. You can get $80,000 to $100,000 a show off one song.
Yeah.
So, that's just how, I mean, it is what it is, brother.
Yeah.
That's why I don't get it. Then how some of them get broke, I don't understand it. I don't understand it, because the money didn't change from when we started.
Yeah, but, you know, in terms of the business aspect, though, that's a situation where you're looking at it from an end of, like you said, with publishing, because there's your publishing royalties and your mechanical royalties, and a lot of artists don't understand. You know, and we've talked with so many artists about this. Correct me in any part if I get it fucked up anywhere with the definitions. Your mechanical royalties are ensuring how much money you're going to get in terms of your actual record sales, but your publishing is your intellectual property, that if it is used in any media in terms of radio, movies, commercials, or anything in that capacity, that is money that's going to keep because you have held on to that. Yes.
There you go. Yes, sir. That's why you have publishers and writers.
Yeah, make sure
you know what I'm saying. So,
ASCAP, BMI, all of that.
Yeah, ASCAP, BMI, CSAC. Make sure you register, man. Please handle y'all business, because a lot of y'all not. Don't even have publishing, and they getting all y'all money. So please get your publishing.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That's game right there.
BMI don't cost nothing but $150. So and shit like this, so, man, just go ahead.
I was saying that's some free game y'all getting right there. We usually would charge $39.99, so we just gonna feel reversible. Just get, cause we ain't supposed to give people the prices. We supposed to just let them go seek for themselves. But hey, you getting some game on off the cuff
video?
Yeah,
man. Yes, sir.
Hey, that's
why I call off the cuff.
That's right. You know, we about to wrap this hour up, man. You have any shout outs you want to give?
Oh, man, shout out to man, shout out to God, man, shout out to my team, shout out to Angela Covington, my publisher, shout out to my road manager, Maniac, shout out to Surreal, shout out to my dog behind me, Mike P, shout out to Booty, shout out to my old lady, Dominique, but shout out to Big Shot Music Group, that's Michael Wright, you know what I'm saying, Eazy-E, brother. Matter of fact, what's crazy, that's Eazy-E, brother, that's distributed me, Empire, over there with Gazi.
Oh, wow.
But it's I'm distributed by Empire over there at Gazi, and Big Shot Music Group. Like I said, that's Michael Wright. But the day is Easy E left here. Easy E left. So
yes,
shout out to Easy E, man. Yeah, man. So shout out to Easy E, bro. And shit like that. But yeah, man, that's basically it, man. Y'all can follow me on Facebook, Uncle Head. Follow me on Facebook, James Harden, that's my regular name, on music page, Uncle Head. You can hit me up on Instagram, Uncle Head 72, that's the numbers, Uncle Head 72. Twitter me, Uncle Head _ BSMG. You can hit me up on LinkedIn, Uncle Head, and then Snapchat, Uncle.Head. You can Google me, I'm Googleable. A lot of these artists ain't Googleable. You have to be Googleable in this game. Y'all, you Google me, man. And that's it. And I appreciate y'all for having me over here, Off the Cuff Radio, man. We went off the cuff and shit like that, man.
Definitely,
so
man.
Y'all go check out a new album. Check out a new single, man. It's everywhere, man. Go check me out. That's it. Round It Goes featuring my dog, Switch Your Name Smell. Y'all finna hear
about
to play this interview.
Now. Yes, sir. We about to play this doing now. Then we're going into the second hour. So we're going to salute
appreciate
you, man. We're going to keep supporting what
you're
doing.
Yeah, man. Shout out to my producers, Sherm. Know what I'm saying? Sherm, my right hand, man. He do a lot of stuff. Know what I'm saying? Mr. King. Know what about Sam for KG, Sam Peasy, Frog. Y'all, shout out to my producers, man. And I'm out here, man. Let's work. Appreciate y'all
definitely,
over here man. Off the cuff, man. Let's go.
Yep.
Definitely, man. And this is your single we playing right here, Round It Go, featuring Swisher Man Slim. We will be back in the building for the second hour. Let's go.
Love.
My dogs and the going live. Got the girls in the club going wild. Got drink in my cup right now. I got that lie. Let me get that fire. Round it go, round it go, round it go, round it go, and round it go, round it go, round it go, round it go. When I'm Swisher Man Slim, I'ma call me Swish. Me and my dogs and the been lit. When I leave the club tonight, I gotta go to court. Cause I killed, they killed, they did. Just seen a bad chick and she did. Gotta ask her who she with. If she single but no boyfriend, I'ma ask her can we hit. Straight to the point with it. Real, I ain't in the front with it. I swear to God, if you give me that pimmy right now, I'ma go to lunch with it. Yeah, I'ma eat it up like it's a buffet. I'ma eat it up like it's a birthday. My homie who came with me, he done passed out. He shouldn't have been drinking in the first place. Me and my dogs in the going live. Got the girls in the club going wild. Got drink in my cup right now. I got that lie. Let me get that vibe. Round it go, round it go, round it go, round it go.
Take it to the flow with it. Pass it to the left, let me hit it. Don't mind me, I'm on brown. Handy and crown dog, pass it around. The mama over there, she bad. Don't need a needle, got her own bag. And when she break it down to the flow, everybody stop what they doing, say whoa. Girl so fine, they can take no more. Last call for alcohol, blow by the clothes. Roll up another one before we hit the road. Let me see what you're working with before I hit the dough. Come
me
on.
Me and my dogs in the going live. Got the girls in the club going wild. Got drink in my cup right now. I got that lie, let me get that vibe.
Round it go, 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 round it go.
Sometimes you need the people that you love to turn their back on you, to give you all the motivation you need.
I had to go and get it.
Yeah.
I had to hustle for mine. Niggas ain't want me with it. I had to get on my grind. I had to get me a bag.
Yeah.
Couldn't wait no more time.
Yeah.
Man, these fuck niggas tripping.
Why?
Niggas can't stop my shine.
Oh,
I had to hustle for mine.
I had to hustle mine. They won't see me winning. I had to get on.
feeling. Cause the same one I used to ride for ain't throw me nothing. And I'm the same one with a die for.
I had to hustle mine. I had to hustle mine. They won't see me with it. I had to get on my grind. I had to hustle mine. I had to hustle mine. They won't see me with it. I had to get on my grind. I had to hustle mine. I had to hustle mine. They won't see me with it. I had to get on my grind. I had to hustle mine. I had to hustle mine. They won't see me with it. I had to get on my grind.
I had to get me a bag. I had to get on my shit. I had to go so hard. I had to take them trips. I had to go back trapping. I had to go back stacking. I had to take them chances. I had to make shit happen. I had to crawl some niggas. Had to get rid of them vibes. Made a few proud moves. I had to clear my mind. I had to turn back up. I had to bounce back on them. Then I went and caught that Porsche. Then I pulled right back on them. I had to flip my muscles. I had to show these fuckers. How you gonna count me out? Niggas got too much hustle. I had to give me a bag. Couldn't wait no more time. Man, these fuck niggas tripping. They tried to stop my shine.
I had to hustle mine. I had to hustle mine. They won't see me with it. I had to get on my grind. I had to hustle mine. I had to hustle mine. They won't see me with it. I had to get on my grind. I had to hustle mine. I had to hustle mine. They won't see me with it. I had to get on my grind. I had to hustle mine. I had to hustle mine. They won't see me with it. I had to get on my grind.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. We back in the building at hour number two, episode 381. I'm your host, King Eric, the Media Assassin, with T-Max with the facts. That track right there, Hustle for Mine, is from our second guest of the hour, one of the rawest to do it in the South, and he's still putting it down on a consistent level. Put some respect on his name. Let's all bring on Blood Raw, the off-the-cuff radio, y'all.
Yeah. What's happening? What's happening? What's happening?
What's going on, man? Good to have you with us.
Man, I'm just cooling, man. I just got to Miami, man. I got a show tonight.
Man, look.
So I just
want
to get to the city, man.
Look,
yeah.
We doing this Florida Fabulous tonight. You know, you,
for
you
sure.
know, and Uncle Head, two legends from Florida, man. It's like,
already.
Yo, this is, yes. I mean, this is a celebration. Yeah.
Oh, man.
More to get mad love tonight.
Straight up. That's what's happening,
yeah, man.
Definitely,
man.
Getting
so,
a lot of love tonight.
Yeah, man. Shout out to the Sunshine State with plenty of swag, known for making the booties quake. Look, where the guns clap and the money slaps, you know, is what it is. Yeah, man.
Oh, man.
Tell us a little. Yeah, man. So, I mean, great to have you with us. I guess we're going to get right into it. I mean, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you started in this game we love and call hip-hop, and, you know,
right.
just from your journey then to where you are today.
Right. For sure. Well, for the most part, you know what I'm saying, I'm from Panama City, Florida. Which is a small town between Pensacola and Tallahassee. You know, I grew up, you know, for the most part in poverty, you know what I'm saying, and just trying to find my way, you know what I'm saying, and fell in love with music at an early age. Then, you know, just trying to, you know, do something different in the streets. I started playing around in music, you know what I'm saying, and, you know, recording, started out with a group. You know what I'm saying? And then started doing my solo thing. Once I started doing my solo thing, it became a little more, you know, passionate to me. You know what I'm saying? You know, the way record made me feel and me being able to release things that I hold inside, you know what I'm saying, you know, through my music, you know, and also the effect that it had on people at an early state, you know what I'm saying, you know, pretty much made me want to even go harder. And that's pretty much, you know, how my journey got started.
Definitely. Now, one thing about it, Raw, is that you came along at a time of Florida hip-hop because, you know, I mean, this is going into, you know, like this is the era of the 80s 90s. So, you know, shout out Uncle Head, you know, the Splat Pack, you know, Kid Money and all them, you know. So, of course, you know, Luke, you know, Splat Pack, all of them were part of that first iteration. You know, of course, can't forget 69 Boys, 95 South, you know, this and that. You know, this is part of this first iteration of Florida hip-hop. You know, can't forget DJ Magic Mike and Clay D either, you know, the bass master himself. So this is where we're seeing in that era of Florida. Yeah, you know, Florida is really beginning to come into its own in terms of making, you know, y'all are making y'all claim in the hip-hop game in terms of really putting it down. Who inspired you during that time in terms of writing in reference to when you really, really picked up the microphone to really express yourself? Who were some of your influences?
You know, of course, I grew up off of Trick Daddy. You know what I'm saying? Between Trick Daddy, Scarface, you know what I'm saying? You know, were my top favorite guys, along with Tupac as well, you feel me? But, you know, I would say those was my top three guys that I grew up off of, you know what I'm saying? Of course, you know, even Uncle Head and Splat Pack, they influenced, you know, my lifestyle, you know what I'm saying? From, you know, just the music that they was putting out in the time frame. I was a kid, but I was, you know, in the streets pretty early, so I witnessed a lot of things fast. Yeah, man, you know, our whole Florida music scene has always been an inspiration because it makes you want to party.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying,
yeah,
and have fun.
Yeah.
You know, and I related to a lot of that music. You know what I'm saying, but. You know, other than that, you know, I really didn't have no whole lot of inspiration from entertainers like street guys were my inspiration. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, you know, once I started recording music on my own, it became different for me. You know what I'm saying? Like I hold a lot of things in and I, you know, I internalize a lot of things. So once I started, you know, recording my music and talking about the things that I want to talk about, the things I was going through, the things I've seen, you know, I felt the release of pressure. You know what I'm saying? The more that I talked about those things,
it was a catharsis for you in terms of it. Because one thing about it, for anybody, you know, when we know how real Florida is. Shout out to the legends, of course. You know, Convertible Burt, Big Ike, the Booby Boys. You know, all of them. We're familiar with all of that scene out there. We tell a lot of the youngins, because we, you know, King and myself are older, you know, so we grew up around it. We grew up in that cocaine cowboy era with Griselda Blanco and all of them. We know all about that, you know.
Right.
You know, John, the pilot in Florida, I believe his name was John Roberts, rest in peace. You know, so we knew about how real that was. You know, and, you know, you were, you know, obviously, you know, living a lifestyle that a lot of these rappers, you know, are talking about on Wax, man. You know, as you really began to articulate that into your rhymes, you know, and it was a release for you, was it something that pretty much in terms of learning, you know, was it basically like you had a set standard in terms of how you constructed your bars? In terms of your writing style, was it just the overall spontaneous expression of your feelings, you know, putting pen to paper?
For the most part, I think I developed. I've always been great at picking my beats. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Because I love music. You feel me? And I'm more of a musical artist, whereas, you know, I like hearing the live bass guitar. I like hearing the live lead guitar. Like, you feel me? Like, those are instruments that bring passion and pain, you know, I think, to music. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it does something for me. But, you know, my recording method is just always been how I structured it to make it feel like a song. When you listen to N.W.A. and Ice Cube and all them growing up, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
It was a way that they presented their music. It wasn't just we just rapping and you just getting the hook. You know what I'm saying? They did bridges. They did intros. They did outros. Like, you know what I'm saying? And that has always stuck with me when I, you know, when I do music and I create my songs. You know what I'm saying? And I think that it brings something special, you know, to the listeners and to the fans as well. And they appreciate those type of things.
Yeah. Tell us about the first time you went into the studio to record. Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because when I first went to the studio, it pretty much was kind of like, you know what I'm saying? Like I had in my mind that I wanted to cover up what I was doing and I was going to trick the people. You know, I had this story in my mind. I was going to trick the people that I'm really doing music and I'm not in the streets. And, you know, that was the thing that was going on when I first went to the studio. But like I said, when I first went to the studio, they were recording on DATs.
Hey,
you guys know about DATs?
D-A-T, yeah.
Yeah, on ADATs.
The DATs, yeah.
So it was crazy. They didn't have Pro Tools at first when I first started recording. So you had to literally, you know what I'm saying, rap all the way through the song. Like, it wasn't no copy paste, you know what I'm saying, and stop and we can patch that in. No, it was, you had to literally do the whole song. You know what I'm saying? So when Pro Tools came around, oh my God, I fell in love because I could really do what I wanted to do.
That's
what's up. And what made you choose the stage name Blood Raw?
Actually, I got in Florida, Blood Raw is a slang. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It stands for keeping it real. Like, if I give it to you in a sentence, it'll be like, I'm going to give it to you Blood Raw, meaning the real as it could get. You feel me? But I
right,
got the
bone.
Blood Raw when I was in prison. I was in prison, mm-hmm. and I had two friends, two older cats, that I was cool with, one named Cadillac and the other one named Ike. And every time they hear me rap, they'd be like, boy, that blood raw. You know what I'm saying? They kind of stuck with me as I got ready to get out of prison. And when I got out, I just kept the name.
Definitely, man. Now, you know, pretty much from, you know, you really developed, you know, obviously, you know, you had your, you know, you had to take, you know, your, you know, you had to sit on the bench for a little while in terms of, you know, fouling out in the game in a sense. So once you got back off of the bench and got back out there in the courts again, not necessarily game related, what was it like to pretty much get back out there and start to interact and network with people in terms of really finding out what was going on in the local scene and ultimately finding your way into it, you know, getting your name out there musically?
Well, to be honest, the music scene was kind of easy for me because I applied the things that I did in the streets. You know what I'm saying? And,
right.
and that's, you know, like, it became easy. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know I've always been a people's person. You know what I'm saying? And I've always been good with people. So, you know, what I did was I honestly felt like that if I leave my city and I go to all these different places where the event's going on at, you know what I'm saying? And I make my mark in these places, then people would, you know, they would either like my music or they would like me. You know what I'm saying? And when I first started, I had this thing where I said to myself, I was not going to ask a DJ to play my music. I was going to build a relationship with them first. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's really what I did. I went to the homecomings, the classics, me and probably 10 of my homeboys, we all in our cars, you know, jewelry, money, everything. And we just really went to the events and we hung out. You know what I'm saying? I either gave a DJ a shirt, bought him drinks, phone number, you know what I'm saying? And I consistently kept in contact with most DJs.
Right.
And then it became a friendship. You know what I'm saying? Once it became a friendship, then the music was secondary. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, man. And, I mean, you know, one thing about it is, you know.
Go ahead, King. Go ahead. I was saying that's the beauty behind networking.
Right.
Yeah. And one thing about it too, Blood, is the fact that y'all were pretty much doing this at a time before social media really became a thing. You know, this is going back roughly about, you know, maybe, you know, this is basically, you know, we were talking, you know, talking to Unc about this, you know, and he was telling us, you know, about how they got down in the 90s, you know, and this was, you literally had to, you know, between the college circuits, you know, the small clubs, you know, you really had to put in the legwork in terms of pushing it, in terms of getting your product out there, you know, you know, in terms, like you said, merchandising, you know, I mean, like you said, the hustle isn't a different product, but the marketing tactics of applying are the same. Number one, you have to, you know, you move, you have your distribution in terms of moving locations, you know your demographics, you get to know the big shot callers in the area who have influence. You ingratiate yourself with them, and then y'all are able to move in a fashion that is conducive where all parties make a profit. You know, it's just, we know a little bit about that, you know.
But you know what? Hey, T-Man, check this out. Yeah, you know, we got to put people on game about – on this show here, because anybody remember there was a time in the industry where there was bidding wars, like there was a bidding war behind getting 50. There was a bidding war behind Drake.
Well,
people don't know, and we were putting people on the game on Off the Cuff Red. There was a bidding war for Blood Raw back then. Like you had Ludacris,
for sure.
You had T.I.
for sure.
All these people wanted to get at you, man.
Yeah, tell us about those contracts.
Well, it was really crazy. It was really crazy, bro. It was really crazy.
Go ahead.
You know what I'm saying? Because keep in mind, I'm from Panama City, Florida. You know what I'm saying? You know, growing up, I don't know nobody from my city that's in the NBA or the NFL or even Major League Baseball. You know what I'm saying? So it's for my city. I was pretty much like the first to come out of my city to reach a level of success. You know, of that magnitude, but. You know, like I said, I applied the things that I knew from the streets to the industry, and it worked really, really well. When I signed my deal, I only had two records at the time. You feel me?
Wow.
And it probably took me 10, 11 months. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But I had a song called Represent, right? Never forget, I was in Dothan, Alabama. And me and Jeezy had a show in Dothan, Alabama as well. Well, Florida and Alabama is extremely close, especially kind of my city where I'm from. And I've already done work in this city. You know what I'm saying? So I was like something big to that city as well. And Jeezy had just dropped Streets Is Watching. You know what I'm saying? It was on fire in Atlanta. It was on fire in Alabama. But it quite hadn't got the dope in Alabama like everywhere else just then. So like I said, I had a show at one place. He had a show at the other place. It was nobody at his show. Everybody was at my show. So they left their show and came to my show. By the time they came in the building, my song that I had called Represent was on. And the whole crowd was singing it word for word. You don't stay where I stay. You don't live where I live. You don't pay my bills. You feel me? And they couldn't believe it. You know what I'm saying? And keep in mind, you know, it's been a couple of different events where Coach K had heard of my name from different people talking about me. You know what I'm saying? Which my personal friends of mine, Justice League, the producers, they was working with G's at the time, and they were saying, man, this cat from Florida named Blood Raw, he the truth, he the next, you know what I'm saying? Their manager, Chuck Green, was telling Coach K the same thing. Okay, at the same time, T.I. was trying to sign me, Jazzy Faye was trying to sign me, and Jazzy Faye was working with Jeezy. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, go back to the show. Kink stepped me to the side as we at the show. He was like, bro, what you want to do, man? You feel me? And, I was laughing just like anything else, and I was just like, shoot, what y'all want to do? You know what I'm saying? And he was like, man, let me get your number. They got my number, you know, and then couple of days later, he was like, bro, I want to fly you to Atlanta. You know what I'm saying? And what's crazy was at the same time that all of this was going on, Universal was trying to sign me. Joey Bimble was trying to sign me. But I also heard it was a word on the streets that the feds was about to pick me up. So in the back of my mind, I'm saying to myself, like, man, I really need to get signed, like, before they pick me up. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, to be honest, it wasn't the fact that it was Jeezy why I hurry up and sign. It was pretty much the fact of this was a great fit for me for once, and when we sat down, he understood what I wanted to do. You know what I'm saying? And in the beginning, we all had the same vision of what we wanted to do with each other. You know what I'm saying?
Which would end up becoming the USDA, right?
Right. So I went ahead and signed the deal, you know, and a couple months later, bro, the feds picked me up just right after we coming from performing, you know, at the New Year's Eve ball drop in New York. You know what I'm saying? The biggest thing I've ever done in my life. You feel me? And as soon as I came back, we was getting ready to go to Europe on tour with Jeezy, and I had to go get a passport. And long story short, I had a secret indictment.
Oh, wow. Now, we want to back it up a little bit, Blood, because we're going to get to that in a second. And, you know,
right.
we don't want you saying too much about what you're not comfortable speaking on with that. But when you said kink earlier, you're talking about Kinky B, right? Because that was Jeezy's name
at
the time, I believe. Right.
No,
that's
the co-owner of CT.
Okay, right. Co-owner, because we kind of know about that business too. But you know, those who know about what was going on with that. But that's a whole different subject. Okay, so King comes to you about it, and it's a situation. Because we gotta back this up a little bit, man. Because I mean, you know, first off, you know, for you to
it's just a matter of putting things into clarity, man. Because what we're doing on this show here is, like, we want to bring people their stories and the truth. We don't want a lot of fabricated tales here. You feel me?
And we want to fill in the blanks in terms of everything because, you know, what you did, Blood, I mean, the fact is, you know, you basically were on the grind for a year and this is not to shade anybody because on Off the Cuff, we got so much love for independent artists. But how long it can take, and we've seen some artists grind for years and they never get their big break. And basically you did it within a year's time, and you don't only have deals coming your way, you are getting major opportunities. Tell us about that time, what goes into it in terms of when you're negotiating deals with a label, in terms of your money, in terms of your publishing, all the bullet points that artists should understand in terms of when they are negotiating. Because like they say in business, you don't get what you deserve, you get what you negotiate. Tell us about what that process was like.
Well, to be honest, I'd advise anybody who's doing anything with music or business, you know what I'm saying? You know, and there's a lot of things that up and coming artists will never understand, no matter how many books they read. You know what I'm saying? The most important thing in industry is obtaining a lawyer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And that's something that I didn't do. It's something that I didn't do in the beginning. You know, and a lot of things that I did in my career, I learned as I went. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
My manager at the time, C. Wakely, we always fresh in the game. We straight out the kitchen. Like, we straight from the streets to music. Like, you feel me? And we don't have no history of knowing nothing. Like, the closest person that knew anything about industry that I had in my corner at the time was T.J. Chapman, which had T.J. DJs. You know what I'm saying? But when it came to me doing my deal, like I said, I was in a rush because I had – in my mind that the feds was about to pick me up. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't talking to a whole lot of different people who knew the game or who knew business. Even with my manager at the time, C. Wakely, he didn't even want me to sign the deal with CTE because he was like, bro, we could do so much better. Like, I got these people, they calling my phone. They calling me on Saturdays and Sundays. Like, you feel me? You know what I'm saying? But the fear of me knowing that the feds was about to pick me up, you know what I'm saying, I went ahead and I took a leap of faith. You know what
right.
I'm saying? So I can't just, you know, act like I had it all together because I
right,
didn't.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I didn't have it all together. I just knew that, you know, I was working hard. I was putting everything that I knew and I wanted to do in my music. And, you know, I was grinding. You know what I'm saying? And it paid off. It literally paid off in a time frame that I don't know, you know, nobody else that happens just that fast. You know what I'm saying? But as the years grew, of course, you know, I start learning the business and, you know, learning about, you know, publishing and you know, different credits and just, you know, how you supposed to have your attorney, you know, regardless of what you feel about a person, you know what I'm saying? You still supposed to have your attorney, you know, look over that paperwork and, you know, it's a gift and a curse, bro.
Yeah, because as we say respectfully, you got to keep the business Jewish. You know, you got to know what's going
right.
on. So you have the secret indictment with the feds. Pretty much, what comes after that in terms of how did that affect going forward for you after you signed with CTE?
Well, like I said, we was getting ready to go to Europe on tour with Jeezy, and.
Right.
I had to go get my passport because I never had a passport. And once mm-hmm. I did that, I got, you know, of course I got picked up. And I had to go back to Florida to face my conspiracy case. So
right.
Once I went to trial, by the grace of God, I was acquitted. You know what I'm saying?
Praise God. Won't he do it?
Man, I'm trying to tell you, like, you feel me? Like, it was just, you know, everybody, you know, talk about God when it's convenient. But, you know what I'm saying, if you know me or follow my career, you know what I'm saying, he's always been a part of my life, you know.
Hey.
But long story short, I get out, and everything is going great. You feel me? We record the USDA album. You know what I'm saying? We on the road.
Yes, because I
We're
have
doing
it.
Shows.
Whoa, man. It's in
you
rotation
know what I'm saying?
Today. Loved it. Loved it.
Yeah, man. You know, and it's what's crazy is, bro, is that, you know, we did number four on Billboards. You know what I'm saying? With little to no promotions. You know what I'm saying? Little to no promotions. You know, they classified it as a mixtape. You know, it's a gold album, gold plaque that wasn't even pushed. Could have easily been platinum. You know what I'm saying? And then shortly after the CTE album, the USDA album, then my album came out, and that did number five on Billboards with little to no promotion. And 10 months later, 10 months later after the first indictment, I was picked up for a second indictment because they were mad that they didn't charge me the first time with a firearm that was in the car. So once I got acquitted on the first indictment, Florida made Georgia pick me up on an indictment of possession of a firearm by a convicted felon.
Damn, they just basically told them, go get them. Damn.
Man, yeah, they were mad. They was mad, and then they told them, you feel me, like, you know, y'all need to charge them with that. So all of this going on at the same time, you know what I'm saying? You know, I'm trying to have a career. I got all this legal stuff going on. And so luckily, T.I. was going through his case with his guns at the same time. So, you know, I was able to get, you know, to get only probation from that situation because, you know, the judge basically said that he wasn't about to send me to prison. You feel me? You know, I hadn't been in trouble. Bro, I ain't been in trouble since I was 19 years old. You feel me? And they just were able
That's
to go back to my
man.
my childhood record, and they wanted 15 years for the gun.
Man, you know, that's beautiful, man, that you know, at 19 years old, because you really went through it, you know. And I'm going to just go out there and say it about what happened with T.I. I really wish people would leave T.I. alone, talking about he snitched and everything, because he didn't. You know,
right.
If I got the story right, because, and you know about that situation a little bit, but as far as I knew what was going on with it, the man was shot at where his best friend was killed. Rest in peace, Fillion. You know, so it's like the dude bought the guns because the man was fearful for his life. It, after a while, it's just certain things that it's like, yo, these niggas shot at me. I'm scared. And, yes, I got to protect myself. And from what I understand with the judge, they looked at the extenuating circumstances because they were like, you know, he was a convicted felon, but, yes, he had a right to protect himself. And they said because he had done so much in the community already prior to, that's why they made it so heavy. You know, he did his time. But that's why they made it so heavy on community service, which he ended up fulfilling, you know. So, and thank God it didn't happen. You know, he was looking at spending the rest of his life behind bars behind that. And fortunately, that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, but, you know, and I mean, fortunately for you, you know, you were able to, you know, get out, you know, just get probation behind it. So, you know, obviously... Because, like I said, the USDA album, man, I mean, you know, was just an unbelievable. I mean, Throw That Money is just like,
it got a tongue tie, man. That's how crazy it was then, man. Because
when
we talking on this show,
Bill
we reflected
joint.
About, yeah, that album was crazy, man. Now, did you guys catch any, because of the song White Girl, they didn't even know that what you guys was really talking about, right?
Nah, we had some flack behind that because they thought that we were talking about Christina Aguilera. You feel me? Like, and we had to tell Jay-Z, we didn't have to tell Jay-Z because he already knew, but he basically, you know what I'm saying, told us that, you know, they was tripping and the women's organization rights was trying to come at us about different things. And, you know, it was crazy. It was a gift and a curse as well. You know what I'm saying? We got good promotions off of it. But, you know, we were just being us, bro. We was being United States and D-Boys of America. You feel me? And represent what we know, you know?
We know what they're talking about. I'm pretty sure the exact putting this out don't really have a clue.
Yeah, they thought we were trying to pimp.
So, blood, what was it like during that time with that whole Atlanta scene and Florida scene, blood? Because, I mean, you know, that mid-2000s, just that era was just crazy back then. Now, what was it like for y'all just in terms of the music and just the overall scene back then?
I mean, let me tell you something, bro. Them moments was the best moments of my life. You know what I'm saying? And I feel like it was the best moments of anybody who witnessed that era. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was so much partying, man, so many happy moments. Like, it wasn't really no whole bunch of, you know what I'm saying, beefing going on or BS. Like, we really were living. You feel me? We was motivating the world to get some money, you know what I'm saying, at the same time. You know, you had people from all across the world, from New York, Cali, you know what I'm saying, coming to different places to party with us. Like, you feel me? Like, we did something real special. That, you know what I'm saying, don't see happening again for a long time. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it was just a moment, man. It was a moment that nobody will ever forget.
Yeah, man. I mean, you know, pretty much, you know, just take us through that time to when, you know, from CTE to when you pretty much got to work on your solo project. When did you feel it was time for you to do your personal expression on your debut?
Okay, well, this would happen. As we did the USDA album, right after we did the USDA album, that's when I got picked up for my indictment. Okay.
Right.
So after that, I get released. As soon as I get released, I record my mixtape Indictment Papers with DJ Drummond.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So once I drop that, I instantly go on the road doing shows on my own. Well, matter of fact, let me, I said that wrong. We hadn't recorded the USDA album yet.
because I remember we was on the road. After I won my indictment, I did indictment papers mixtape with DJ Drummer. Then I got on the road. Once I was on the road, I was doing shows, and then I remember Jeezy calling me and was like, bro, can you come in? We need to finish this USDA album. I stopped doing shows on my personal shows, came in. We recorded the USDA album in 30 days, bro. No BS. You feel me? Literally 30 days. We woke up and we was living together at the time. We was all living together. We called it the Thug Mansion. You know what I'm saying? We wake up in the morning. We make breakfast. We leave the house. We go do whatever we're going to do in the daytime. Nighttime, we go to the studio like 6 o'clock. From 6 to probably 1 o'clock, we in the studio. At 1 o'clock, we go to the club. We come from the club about 4 or 5, back to the studio, and then we go home. And we did that for 30 days, bro. 30 days of partying in the studio, and we created Cold Summer.
Damn. Boy.
Straight up.
But y'all had a regimen, though, and it worked. You know what I'm saying?
Right. We did.
I mean, but you know, one thing about it, I mean, you know, with all of y'all, you know, it created a camaraderie because all of y'all were in a situation where it really, really brought about a level of really understanding each other because all y'all had the same, you know, shared the same struggles and story in terms of, you know, just building, you know, the unity with it, man. I mean,
right.
You know, when you're in the process of recording that album, did y'all know how big it was eventually going to become? Because that album came out in, what, 2006, 2007, and that thing still today, that thing burns up like a third degree with gasoline and napalm thrown on it. I mean, the shit is fucking – I mean, yo, the album –
Well, I mean, for the most part, we knew. You know what I'm saying? Did things go as we wanted them to go? No, but we know what the album is. You know what I'm saying? It could have been. You know, it could have been even bigger. You feel me? You know, with the right promotions and you know, things done a little different, but. You know what I'm saying? You can't take away good work. That's why it became a gold album.
Right. Yeah, man. I mean, pretty much just over the time, I mean, from where y'all were at that time, you know, because it's hard to believe it's been 14 years now since, you know, that release. How have you in your opinion seen hip-hop change in that time in terms of the music and the marketing and everything else with it?
Man, it's changed drastically for the good and for the bad. You know what I'm saying? It's got some good points, but it's got a whole lot of bad points. I think that the reason albums don't do what they're supposed to, not saying what they're supposed to, but why albums don't do what they used to do is because you can't trick people no more. You know what I'm saying? Like they used to only drop one single, you know what I'm saying, and then you had to go buy the album. You feel
right.
me? Physically. Now you can pretty much, with the internet, you can pretty much see who a person is, whereas you don't have to buy into them now. If you like their music, you can download one song. You could download this song or that song. But when we came, you really, if you had fans, they didn't just like your music. They bought into you as well. You know what I'm saying?
Like, the whole package.
Like there was a part of something. Yeah, it was a whole package. You know, now, like, you know, people, you may be in love with a song. You don't even know who the artist is.
Right.
That's how broad internet is.
But, you know, Blood, y'all came along at a time, too, where, you know, streaming had not become a thing just yet. You know what I'm saying?
At
so
all.
This is a situation like King was saying. You know, you really had to look at music from a perspective of, you know, you really had to, you know, and the money, you know, physicals were still a thing. And then it's a situation that, you know, you really had to buy the album in terms of really, really getting the whole experience of it, this, that, and the other, you know. But the fact is y'all really brought, I think, an element to the game, because this is really when we start seeing that level of, you know, street hop, especially down south. You know, y'all really gave it, y'all really became the visual expression of what was going on at that time. Because up until that time, you know, we, T.I., which he said this some years back, and we can't really say he's wrong, because he's the one that gave trap rap its name, trap music.
Right.
You know, because nobody was saying it before him. King made an observation, you know, my brother was talking, and it's like we were talking a while back, and King said that, you know, Ghetto Mafia. Remember that, King, when you were talking about Ghetto Mafia, it was like that first iteration of trap rap in terms of what we were you know, but you
trapping has always been around. It's just a matter of, trapping has always been around. It's just a matter of T.I. coining it. He popularized,
It's just a point of, you know what I'm saying, the level of the artist and the boldness of how they said it. You know what I'm saying? You know, listen, trapping was around with N.W.A. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, but it's just the, I feel like it's just the level of artists who said it, because keep in mind, as being a street person, you didn't talk about stuff like that. You know what I'm saying? You feel like you could get indicted, or you could get, you know what I'm saying, put the people on game or anything. You know what I'm saying? So it was real bold when people started talking about the things that they was doing in the streets. So that's why it was so amazing when people heard Jeezy. You know what I'm saying? Because how he made it seem, it was like, man, like, for one, I can't believe you said that. And for two, like, well, I really know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? Like, you feel me?
So we knew.
It's a sense of feel good, but at the same time, like, man, you sure you can say that?
And you know what, guys? I'm going to tell y'all this, too. You know, one thing I miss about the culture today is the big deal feel, meaning that it felt like when a rapper was going to make a debut, it felt like a monumental event was going to happen.
Right.
Like, even with Jeezy, when he dropped Trap or Die, it was crazy in the Carolinas.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah, man, but you look at it in terms of that whole situation, man. I mean, you know, for what y'all bought in it, man, it was just wild, because, you know, I mean, you know, you are, I mean, that's something that, you know, for the level that y'all were doing it at, man, that's not something that can be imitated or, you know, fabricated. You know, you all really, 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 you know, came with it, and ultimately would help define an era, you know what I mean? We, man, look, rest in peace to Club Blakely's, man, out here in Hampton Roads, Virginia, Chesapeake specifically, where I live, you know, man. It's like that was, we spent many a night turned up to y'all music up in the club, man.
Oh, man.
Straight up. Mean, y'all gave us so much, man, and shows like this we love doing, because we really, really love to give, you know, our respect, and we want to give you your flowers, letting you know how much we appreciate what you've done and still are doing, you know, because you all are just as important to the culture as anybody, man, you know, in terms of what y'all brought to the game.
Right.
You know, so pretty much as you keep going in the game in terms of the business aspects, you know, what have you found in terms of, you, like you said, because you learned a lot of this other stuff late in the game as you went along in terms of the business aspects of it. What else?
Right.
What else did you learn in it going along in terms of how the business is, goes in music?
For the most part, and the main thing that is business, it's not personal. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So anytime, you know, you get in your feelings, then you're not handling business. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So, you know, it's going to be a lot of things that you know that you don't want to do, but it's part of the business that has to be done. And I had to learn that, you know, just because somebody says something don't mean that it's official unless it's in paperwork.
Right.
And even in paperwork don't mean that they're going to always abide by what the terms of agreement.
Yeah, it's like what Uncle Head said, man. You know, it's a situation where, you know, you got to get a lawyer because there's a lot of jargon and lingo that is used in it that we may not, you know, that average person is not going to really understand, you know, in terms of how the wording is. And some of those contracts, King and myself have seen some of those contracts, and those things can, oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Oh,
And not to mention, you know, I got to shoot you this question before we leave. Now, what is the difference between dealing with people within the industry and people in the streets? Because people are always trying to correlate those two worlds into one and saying they're very different. In your experiences, how do they differ?
Well, for one, the difference between the streets and the industry is that the streets have to some degree, a level of respect of what you tell a person. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're not just going to, you know, tell a person, we're going to do this, and we agree upon it, and then you just renege or you don't want to do it or whatever. You know, in the streets, you know, 9 times out of 10, something can happen. Whereas in the industry, you feel me, like, you just can't do that type of thing, you know what I'm saying, with an industry head or whatever. And on another note, just to clarify what I'm saying is that, for instance, in the streets, right, if you get something from somebody, you know what I'm saying, and you tell them, you know, I'm going to pay you back, right? Or we say we're gonna meet at such and such restaurant Friday at 10 o'clock. Okay, in the streets, you don't do that. Then your word ain't no good. We ain't rocking with you or none of that. You feel me? Well, in the industry, somebody'll tell you that, and they'll change their number tomorrow.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And you never, you know, you don't see them until you see them again. And then when you see them again, it's another story. Oh, man, you know what, man? I lost my phone and my contact. You know what I'm saying? You know. Whereas in the streets, you play those type of games, like something's going to happen to you.
Yeah, you know.
And not to mention there's more pride within a street guy, within the corporate guy, in that sense, because the corporate guy, he can always seek lawyers. He got protection. The street guy, he know it's a kill-to-be-kill situation, so he know he got to handle his as like a man.
Exactly.
Now, we know some hiccups happened along the way in the situation. We're not going to get into all of that. That's not what we do. Is there a possibility down the line, are we possibly going to see another USDA album down the line, possibly? Is there any chance we could get one?
I mean, that's not a question that I can answer. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know, and just being realistic, like, I feel like for me, speaking on my behalf, I think that it would be something, you know what I'm saying, great for the culture, great for our fans, great for just, you know, people who love music, you know. But at the end of the day, I think that we all three are grown apart, you know what I'm saying, in a certain way that, you know, I think that between me and Slick, I can speak for us, you know what I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, we would love for it to happen, you know what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, you know, the person who has the ego, the person who has the, you know, the whatever, you know what I'm saying, that'll be a question that, you know, most people don't even ask him that question. You know what I'm saying? But that would be a question that he would have to answer. You know what I'm saying? Because at the end of the day, you know, even though that things didn't go well with us, you know what I'm saying? I don't have no ill intent. I don't have no, you know, we all were brothers. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I just wish that you know, he would have did business the way that it's supposed to go. You know what I'm saying?
Understood.
And that's just point blank, period.
Understood. You know, we
wanted to bring clarity to that because, you know, we live in a new time where people love to just run with and make up DuckTales and bring up beef scenarios and videos for clicks and stuff. So we like to get from the sources or from the people that been
right
there. So that way it brings clarity to, you know, balance out the lies.
Right, because on one hand, like King said, Blood, you know, we've been blessed to do what we've been doing and met a lot of great people, including yourself, along this journey. And we hear stuff, you know, on air. We get stuff. We get a lot of information off air. And, you know, this is off the cuff.
Right.
This show is never
about. We in this chatty patty era.
Yeah, we not going to be
sure.
Like, you know, we're not like DDD, Deputy Doodle, you know.
Not to mention, too, that you don't want to sit back and you wake up one morning and you see somebody come up with a video like, here's with a real breakdown between Blood Raw and Jeezy, and that nigga got almost 1 million views, and you like, hold up.
Yeah.
He's telling DuckTales off us, and we ain't talking
to
this.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, what?
Better believe it. You know how they do it. You know how they do it.
Yeah, man. So we got a little bit of, we got to close out a little bit. But yeah, tell us a little bit about what you got coming and what you're doing right now.
Well, this is how full circle work. I have a new project coming out, new album called Hush, which is an acronym, means hustle until something happens. You know what I'm saying?
Hey.
And, I had took a little break from the game, actually 5 years. It's going to be my first project in 5-6 years, you feel me?
Right.
And what's even crazy about it is that me and the co-owner, the same person who stepped to me in the beginning, Kinky B, we doing this project together. So that's a big, big blessing. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. It's gonna be crazy, man. And we both got something to prove. You know what I'm saying? He didn't want to do music no more, but, you know, after, you know, 2-3 years of me standing in his ear, he like, man, let's finish what we started. You know what I'm saying? And that's pretty much where we at with it.
I got a new single
out called Hustle for Mine. You know, we just shot the video with Joe Young Spikes. It'll be coming to BET in the next 2-3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? So y'all look around, they around for that. And I also dropped the intro to my album, which is called Hush, the intro. So if you want to watch that video, you can go on my YouTube, which is Raw News, RAWNEWZ, and type in Hush intro. You know what I'm saying? Follow me on Instagram, Blood Raw 1, the number one, Blood Raw 1. Everything else is True Blood Raw. That's on Twitter. That's on Snapchat. It's True Blood Raw, TrueBloodRaw. And, yes, the album is going to be crazy.
Man, look, you
Definitely.
Know, well, one thing about it, yeah. And to see how the game goes so many different levels in terms of, you know, it changes so much. You know, it's great to see that even after taking an extended hiatus, Blood, that, you know, you
yep.
and Kinky really got the motivation to come back. Because the game is all the more better for y'all in it, for what you all contributed to it. And we, like I said, me and King know the stories. We you know, some of that
yep.
stuff's already been documented. We're not going to get into all of that
right.
here. But the fact is that at the end of the day, y'all are all grown men from all sides. And at the end of the day, y'all got to do what's best for y'all, and, you know, you just keep moving the best way y'all know how, and that's the only thing y'all can do. And we're supporting you all the way, man. You know, it goes without saying, when, you know, you drop the album, you feel free, you know, hell, if you can get Kinky to come on with you, we would love that, too, and just have a...
For sure.
Just chop it up, man, so you know you're welcome back anytime, man.
Right. That's what's up, bro. I appreciate that for real.
Definitely, definitely.
Yeah. Definitely, man. Big
Oh yeah, and big shout out to your publicist too, man. She helped put this thing together. Very solid.
Yes. Yeah, man, she do her thing.
Yes.
Shout out to
Andrew Covington. Yes, Lady A,
what I can say about her, if you better not come and bringing that garbage music to her, she'll cuss you out.
Oh, man. That's real.
Definitely.
So on that note, guys, we're about to be up out of here, man. We're going to definitely stay in touch, man. Like, you got any new projects, we're going to be pushing that on the line, on the channels. We're going to keep that thing pushing.
Definitely.
Yes,
and once again, thanks so much, man. And on that note, like King said, you know, OTC, you know, with B. Rothstein, you know, shout out to Uncle Head and Lady AC. And we are out in the breeze until next week.
Already.
Peace.
All right.
All right, and we out.
For
thanks
sure.
again. And we definitely. One.